Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe's cabinet has ordered all foreign-owned companies operating in Zimbabwe to shut down next month if they do not comply with the country's indigenization regulations.
China says it will give Zimbabwe rice worth $24 million for drought relief aid as food shortages grip the nation.
Former Education Minister David Coulthard clashes with Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa on five brigade atrocities.
And no Zimbabwean has been caught up in terrorist attacks in Belgium.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
President Robert Mugabe's cabinet has ordered all foreign-owned companies operating in Zimbabwe to close shop on April 1st if they do not comply with the country's indigenization regulations requiring them to transfer at least 51% of their shares to black Zimbabweans. Indigenization Minister Patrick Juwawo made the announcement in Harare today. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Juwawo told a news conference that the cabinet decision would ensure that the indigenization law was complied with, adding that this provides support measures for the empowerment of black Zimbabweans.
This is a decision that affects all sectors. It's a decision which says, look, abide by the law. Companies make their own decisions here. We're leaving this to companies to decide. They must decide that, look, are we going to abide by the law or not? And if I'm a shareholder of a company, I would now be asking my management, look, Mr. MD, I would be asking my board, chairman of the board, why are we not abiding by the law?
Some economists have argued that potential investors are shunning Zimbabwe because of its scary policies, such as the black empowerment regulations. However, Joao told Studio 7 after the news conference that the country does not require any foreign direct investment.
Foreign direct investment is not the solution to this economy. This argument that says this country is crying for foreign direct investment is not true. Yes, foreign direct investment is something that is required, but what is actually required more in this economy is efficiency, productivity, and higher production levels.
The cabinet's decision, announced by Juwawo, was criticized by former chief economist in the finance ministry, Masimba Manyanya, who said it was surprising that the government had taken such a decision at a time when the International Monetary Fund has just completed a staff-monitored program in the country. He added that most black Zimbabweans do not have the capital to venture into top businesses owing to the country's economic meltdown. He said this move would cripple Zimbabwe's ailing economy. Efforts to get a comment from the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries and the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce were fruitless. The decision to force foreign-owned companies to close shop by April 1st if they do not meet the nation's empowerment regulations also came at a time when the government also ordered all diamond firms that were operating in the Chiadzwa area in Manicaland province to cease operations, rendering thousands of workers jobless. The government said the companies were not properly registered, while some of them were refusing to join a state entity designed to take care of diamond mining activities. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Chinese ambassador to Zimbabwe, Wang Ping, says the Asian nation is expected to provide rice worth about $24 million for drought relief aid as Zimbabwe facing a devastating El Nino-induced drought, which has resulted in serious food shortages. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
Speaking at a drought response stakeholders meeting co-hosted by the United Nations and the Office of the President and Cabinet, Ping said the Chinese government had given more than what the embassy had requested.
China is going to provide I'll donate rice worth of 160 million yuan, which is approximately equals to 24.6 million US dollars in rice to Zimbabwe as emergency food assistance.
He said the assistance is more than double the Chinese government had provided to Zimbabwe in the 2014 season. The head of the United States Agency for International Development, Stephen Funke, and the British Agency for International Development chief, Annabel Gerry, also said they were in touch with their countries with a view to mobilize additional funding for drought relief. Funke said the USAID, which has since June last year spent $35 million on humanitarian assistance in the country, would soon be making an announcement on additional funding.
This year, our budget is budgeted for $40 million, which is already an increase, and we received indications last week that there will be a substantial increase to this money, and we hope over the next 2 weeks that we'll be able to announce what that amount is.
European Union Ambassador to Zimbabwe Philippe Van Dem said while the European Union was willing to assist, it was worried by the discrepancies in the numbers of people who needed assistance.
We are, of course, working on additional support measures. While I'm always asking questions on coherence of data, it's because the coherence of data makes it so much easier to plead with all capitals on what are the gaps. So we are very eagerly waiting for the finalization of the updated humanitarian response plan, because this will facilitate the communication with our respective capitals.
The government says almost 4 million people are in urgent need of drought relief aid. Air Commodore Jasper Marangwanda of the National Grain Command Center said about 3.1 million people from virtually all rural districts were in need of food. He said though government has secured the resources to purchase grain, the state was failing to distribute the monthly national requirement of 30,400 metric tons. He said only 20,266 tons were being distributed monthly.
This means that only 57% of the monthly grain requirements have been released by GMB for distribution to the vulnerable.
He said there was need to complement the Grain Marketing Board, the District Development Fund and the Road Motor Services in moving grain to ensure that all affected families received grain on time. Zimbabwe has secured more than $240 million for the purchase of grain, but is facing problems in bringing grain into the country as neighboring nations like Zambia are also facing drought and have put restrictions on maize exports. So far, imports are coming from South America, while Europe is also being considered as another maize source. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Former Senator David Coltart, who is also a veteran lawyer, maintains that he stands by remarks contained in his book regarding what Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa is reported to have said in 1983 when government deployed the North Korean-trained 5 Brigade in Matabeleland and the Midlands provinces, which, according to human rights activists, allegedly killed at least 20,000 innocent civilians. The massacres, commonly referred to as Gugurahundi or washing away chaff, have reportedly unsettled the vice president, who's believed to be harboring presidential ambitions. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba brings us more.
Coltart told Studio 7 that he carried out a thorough research for his autobiography titled The Struggle Continues, saying he stands by what he wrote. Coltart has become embroiled in a row with Mnangagwa after it emerged that his recently published book contains statements that sometime in 1983 Mnangagwa made, which encouraged violence against civilians, marking the start of what came to be known as Gugurahundi. Coltart said he relied on some reports in the state-controlled Chronicle newspaper, which he had believed to be true, as Mnangagwa never sued the publication for those remarks.
The specific comments in the book regarding Vice President Mnangagwa actually came from Chronicle reports in 1983, which we've had access to. And my assumption has always been that the Chronicle then reported accurately. Vice President Mnangagwa never complained about the Chronicle reports of what he said then, and he's never sued them in the past 33 years. So one has to assume that he was correctly reported on. And to that extent, yes, I stand by what is written in the book.
In a statement, Mnangagwa said he was concerned by remarks in Coltart's book and that the statements attributed to him were false. He has threatened to sue the senator, but Coltart has remained steadfast, asked if he believed that the ordinary majority could still forgive the perpetrators of Gukurahundi given the state's apparent intransigence. Coltart, who has in the past urged offenders to apologize for the atrocities, said he feels that the massacres cannot be taken in isolation as Zimbabwe has gone through a number of traumatic experiences in the past. Coltart said he would not be the right person to demand any apology from Gukurahundi perpetrators, but said he believed there is need for truth-telling.
This is not something that I can say. I wasn't a victim of the Gukurahundi. To that extent, I have no right to demand any apology from Vice President Mnangagwa. All I've done is represent people, victims of that era. And from my representation of those people, I know that they do want an acknowledgement that what happened, in fact, happened. And yes, they would like an apology. And they would like some form of communal reparations for the harm that was done to them.
Human rights activist Mbuso Fuzwayo said Mnangagwa could have used this opportunity to take responsibility and come clean on his involvement in Gukurahundi atrocities.
Instead of him denying, I think he was supposed to be utilizing this opportunity to apologize to the people of Matabeleland and in Zimbabwe in general. If he thinks it's not true what the Coltart wrote and what is in the Chronicle archives, I think the best route for him is to go to court so that he proves his innocence in court. That's what the people are expecting him to do, either to take responsibility, apologize as a vice president, or go to court to say no. The Chronicle wrote lies about me and Coltart is writing lies about me.
Programs director Tine Mukwewa of the Abameli Human Rights Lawyers said as the issue of Gukurahundi has rarely been discussed openly, Zimbabweans could salvage something positive from the row between Coltart and Mnangagwa to help bring closure over the issue.
Clearly, Zimbabwe has had no conversation around Gukurahundi. So this is an opportune time where Zimbabwe can, in a structured manner, have a truth-telling mechanism where the victims themselves can tell their story, where the accused can also tell their own story. Zimbabwe now needs the National Peace and Reconciliation Bill to come into play, but the bill has to speak about truth-telling so that we find in Zimbabwe.
Participants at a recent meeting on transitional justice said there can only be closure on the thorny Gukurahundi issue if there's telling of the truth and acknowledgement of the atrocities. The 5 Brigade was deployed in Matabeleland and Midlands provinces to quell what the government called a dissident menace caused by some disgruntled former ZIPRA members who were unhappy over the way they were left out of the Zimbabwe National Army and other political issues. A local newspaper posted photographs of articles published in the Chronicle in 1983 in which Mnangagwa reportedly compared dissidents to cockroaches and bugs. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.